racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupker, alongside STL Golf Geek, better known as Jay Randolph Jr. And Jay, we're putting together a special edition because we made a determination with what Tiger's doing. We better get this week off because looks like the Grill Room's going to be pretty busy in the upcoming weeks.
No doubt about it. In good position heading into the weekend at Valspar, and we'll have a preview of the Arnold Palmer Invitational, which he'll be playing in, and we're going to have a lot of fun this week. A best-of show that'll feature one of the great players of all time from Kansas City, Missouri, former Missouri State amateur champion, and the king of the British Open, Hall of Famer Tom Watson. Bob, we're also going to have Groove Up with our man John Daly, and as I mentioned earlier, a preview of the Arnold Palmer Invitational, a tribute to the king, fitting as it is his week on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and I think it's solid thinking that we do this best of shows so that we can charge up those batteries and be ready to cover Tiger wall to wall if he continues to play well, and certainly no indication at this juncture that that's not going to happen.
And Bob, as I mentioned, we're going to kick things off with Tom Watson, the winner of 8 majors, including 5 British Opens, a U.S. Open, and 2 green jackets. Only the PGA eluding Tom Watson. He was recently kind enough to spend some quality time, and we put together a little Q&A session for your enjoyment to take a listen to the great Tom Watson.
We haven't seen Tom out on the PGA Tour Champions for a while, so we wanted to know what's been keeping him busy.
My love right now is trying to learn how to be a horseman and be a cutting horse, showman. That's what my love is right now. It's a new game for Tom Watson, real new game. You know, the back of a horse, you go into a herd of cattle, you go in there really softly, you come back out through it, you pick one, and you get it in the right position, and you force it out, separate it from the rest of the herd. Once you separate it from the rest of the herd, you have to throw your reins down. You can't use your reins anymore to guide the neck of the horse. You got to do it with your feet. And a horse is trained to keep that cow, because that cow wants to go right back in the herd, keep that cow from getting back in the herd. So you go, you know, that horse is playing his blocks, stops the cow, back and forth. And you're on the back of that horse holding on to that pommel, and you're watching that cow. Because whatever that cow does, your horse is going to do in a nanosecond. And you better be prepared to go 180 degrees in a nanosecond. And that's the rush that I get. It's really, my wife's been doing it for a number of years, and I've been watching her do it. And I said, that's enough. I can't watch anymore. I got to do it. So about a year and a half ago, I made the commitment to learn how to be a horseman and start the show. I'm just learning, and I have a lot of people helping me, and the only way to learn it really is to be in competition, is to go into the show arena and show your horse. That's when you learn. That's when you learn your skills. That's when you learn how to do it right. It's one of those things that, yeah, I tell kids, I equate it to golf. And is the advice I got from Arnold Palmer when I was 14 years old. I had a chance to play with Arnie as a kid when I was 14. And my dad, after the round was over, he said, "Arnie, what one thing will help Tom be a better golfer?" He said, "Have him play in as much competition as he can." Like that. Simple. And the same thing about learning how you are under pressure, learning the game when it chips are down. The same thing, learn how to be a cutter. You get in there at show arena, you get the judge over here, or judges. You make a mistake, that's a negative, that's a minus. You lose the cow, that's like hitting it out of bounds 2 times. That cow gets past you, you know. You don't want that. You want to keep your horse in position. And sometimes you can rely on the horse. You get a good horse that takes care of you. But I want to do it right. And so anyway, that's kind of the future for me. Being an 8-time major champion doesn't get you anything when you go into that herd on your cutting horse. It doesn't. It was like teeing up the next week after winning a golf tournament. Do you tee up the next week with a 5-shot lead? No, it's all even. It's all even. It's what can you do now? What can you do now? It's not what you've done before.
Well, cutting horse competition has his attention these days. Jay Randolph Jr., are you thinking about maybe a little cutting horse competition for yourself?
No, the only horse competition I have is the first Saturday in May, trying to find a Derby favorite. That's my only involvement with horses.
nothing wrong with that. One of the great sporting events, certainly in the United States, each and every year. Next, we want to find out from Tom, Jay, how is it different now than when he first joined the senior circuit?
When I came out on the tour, I was ready. I mean, I was prepared. I didn't play any differently out here than I did on the regular tour, and the same thing with these guys coming on the PGA Tour champions. They're ready. They've played it. I haven't really seen the tour change. I mean, it's we still play. And we have 26 events. I guess when I first started, maybe they had 33 events, maybe? 33. At their height, I think they had 39 events out here. They had a ton of events out here. I think 26 is the right number for this tour. That's pretty much the way I think about it. And, it's fun to go out and be, still be competitive for, a 50-year-old comes out and, okay, let's see. Every year you've got the same thing happening, and it's a new thing you can write about. And the thing is, okay, who's coming out? Who's going to take the golden ring out here this year because they're 50 years old? Well, sometimes that just doesn't happen, The old guys can play. These guys are good, as they say in the PGA Tour. And if I look back on my, I've been out here, 18 years now? I really didn't start losing distance until about 5 years ago. When I was 63, I started losing distance. And my caddy, if you talk to my caddy, he said, Watson's always complaining about hitting it shorter and shorter and shorter. Well, I am hitting it shorter and shorter and shorter. And it's just part of those things. It's just one of those things that happen. You just don't have the speed.
Well, and it is certainly a different landscape out there on the Champions Tour now. When Tom joined it, it was the Senior Tour. And it was quite a bit different. A lot of those guys had already made a ton of money. And really were enjoying playing together, maybe with a little less heat, but always good competition. And, Bob, now it's cutthroat out there, brother.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more competitive, and it's only going to continue to do so when you see somebody like Steve Stricker come on board, still capable, highly capable of playing on the PGA Tour, now has his first victory on the Champions. So look for that tour just to get stronger. Obviously, the biggest debate going on in the world of golf right now is about the distance of the golf ball, and certainly we wanted to know how Tom Watson feels about the situation with distance.
The long hitters are always going to have the advantage. I was one of the longest hitters on the tour in my heyday. There weren't anybody who could really knock it by me. I could hit it high and I could hit it long. I had the advantage. Plus, I could putt the eyes out. I made everything when I was in the 70s there. So you combine that, and I didn't have to hit the ball too straight. I'm hitting wedges into the greens. And the last, these guys are hitting 4 irons or 5 irons from fairway. And you know, it's the way the game has progressed as far as that's concerned. It's hard to make them long enough. These courses long enough where these guys are hitting a driver in a 3 iron to a par 4. You know, they have lots of drivers in 3 irons to par fives. But to hit a driver in a, you know, to a par 4. So what do you have to make the par 4 to make a driver in a 3 iron? 550? You know, 580? Yeah. Par 5, 600, they knock it on 2. It's 600 yards. Look at Justin Thomas at Aaron Hills. You know, you have damn near 700 yards. He knocks it on the green. I mean, I have a story. Does anybody remember Lowell Thomas? You know, the travel log. I had the opportunity to go up and visit his property up there. I think it's between New Hampshire and Vermont. It's a farm up there. And he had Gene Sarazen come in there and design a golf course for him there. And he had a 760-yard par 6. And he also had 8.5-inch cups. Gene said, "Why? Yeah, you know, why do we have to play 4.25-inch cups? We have an 8.5-inch cup out here." So I get on that golf course. "Oh, this is going to be easy. Make these putts." And I couldn't make anything. I mean, you're just hitting it real hard. I mean, you're knocking it 8 feet by, 10 feet by, and missing it coming back. But I remember that 760-yard par 6. Well, that, now they're going to have to make it 760-yard par 5. Okay? Why not? Problem is, you don't have any land. I mean, it's expensive. There's a lot of turf you have to take care of for 760 yards. That's one of the things that it gets me. That you know, I believe that you know, you have of course my good friend Sandy Tatum, who passed away this last year. He played 1,000. He had 1,000 rounds at Cypress Point. You know, it's one of my favorite golf courses. I love Cypress. You know, the ninth hole, just little dinky par fours, and you can drive the ninth green. You can, you know, drive it in the eighth. I mean, the greens are like this. If you miss it, you're making 8. You know, and I remember him saying that he went out and he played with one of these young pros. He said he hit an iron to all the par fives on the golf course, and he never hit more than a wedge to any of the par fours. And it ruins the golf course. I said, "Well, Sandy, move the tees back." He said, "We're not doing it. We're going to make this an example of what courses used to be." What it used to be. In the first hole there, we had a driving 5 iron in the first hole, and these guys hit driving sandwich. We used to have a group of trees right over there that, you know, I was long enough I could carry over that group of trees. A lot of the guys couldn't, so you had to keep it left over here. These guys blow it by those trees by 70 yards. And there you have it. You know, that's the golf ball and combination of the driver. That's what happens. So do you take the fun out of the game for people hitting the ball a long way? I'm, for one, just said, all right, I think, you know, because of the golf courses, you know, I think you'd play in shorter amount of time because you're playing a shorter golf course. And I think you'd still get the same amount of enjoyment hitting, you know, playing golf, hitting the shots, you know, that you normally hit to these par fours and par threes. And you wouldn't have to have all that extra expense for the extra land you had to take care of.
And, Bob, we touched on this on last week's show and got in depth on it because it is coming to the forefront more so than it has been. And again, I said last week that when the best player of all time, Jack Nicklaus, and the second best player of all time, Tiger Woods, at least in my book, are talking about it, and now you got a 5-time British Open champion, Tom Watson, agreeing with them, it's hard for the governing bodies not to at least look closer on the issue.
Yeah, good point there, Jay. And, of course, then the obvious question for Mr. Watson is, will they roll that ball back?
Don't hold your breath. I don't think they're gonna wind the golf ball back. I don't think they have the guts to do that, to be honest with you.
Well, and Bob, you know, that's why you hear Tom talking about, quote unquote, the governing bodies not having the wherewithal to do it, or what you need to do it, or the guts to do it. a lot of people think it could be the boys down at Augusta that are the ones that start this. Who knows?
Well, you bring a good point, and I've been talking about this for quite a while. If there's ever going to be an experiment with the specific golf ball, rolling it back, controlling the distance, the ideal testing ground, beyond any question of a doubt, is the Masters. Like you said, Jay, the players show up, they'll be given a ball, and they'll go play, and then it'll be able to be evaluated under actual tournament conditions on a golf course where they have every stat imaginable on the books, and we'll be able to get a good indication of whether they're going to be moving in the right direction. So I think if it's going to happen, it probably has to happen at Augusta before it happens anywhere else. Obviously, we wanted to find out from Tom his thoughts on Bernhard Langer. You know, he has to be impressed with the way Bernhard constantly stays near the top of that leaderboard.
First of all, a guy can really play, and he can really score. The second thing is he keeps himself in marvelous shape. He really works out. He keeps his body strong, supple. Third thing, he's better prepared than anybody out here. Terry, his caddy, prepares better than anybody, and Bernhard prepares better than anybody. He really studies the golf course. You add those three factors together, and it's pretty hard to beat the guy.
And Bernhard is a machine, and one of the interesting things that Tom knows so well, because, you know, Tom was still competing at the British Open and on the PGA Tour into his 50s. Tom kept himself in good shape, and that clearly is what Bernhard has done, Bob.
And, of course, this time of year, we know when we're in the presence of Tom Watson and soliciting answers from him, that he's starting to get excited, because as we get closer and closer to April, Tom Watson, already with two green jackets in the locker, a two-time winner of the Masters, we wanted to find out how it feels still when he drives down Magnolia Lane.
Every year about this time, I'm thinking about Augusta. You know, it just comes up when March 1st hits, you're thinking, all right, 1st of April, I got to get ready for Augusta. And it's just kind of, you know, it just happens. You know, even though I'm not playing, I still have that feeling. You know, like the spring's, you know, coming out. It really hasn't hit yet in Kansas City. There's nothing green there yet. All the daffodils are just starting to come up. But you know, when that starts to happen, you start thinking about hooking. You got to hit that hook. You got to practice that hook. Go around those corners, 9, 10, 13. Get that hook out there. And this time of year, my juices are flowing pretty good this time of year.
Well, that trip down Magnolia Lane is also signaled by the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard, Arnold's Playground, Bob. And coming up, we're going to have a tribute to the King. But let's take a quick look at the tournament. A lot of eyes are going to be on Tiger Woods. Ricky Fowler's going to be there. Rory McIlroy, Adam Scott. It's always a great field at Bay Hill.
Yeah, and it's great to see that the players are still coming. Obviously, Mr. Palmer's not going to be there in person. Certainly, he'll be there in spirit. There's no way that you can go on the grounds of Bay Hill and not absolutely feel the presence of Arnold Palmer. Danny Willett, pretty interesting story, of course, won the Masters a couple of years ago, really hasn't played that well since then. I'm sure he's going to be looking for a good week at Bay Hill, Jay, to improve his chances of getting a second green jacket.
No doubt, and the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard, always been involved with the hospitals down there and Arnie's Charitable Foundation. It's going to be a great week, and can't wait to see what happens at Bay Hill.
Yeah, and one name that I'm going to throw out there, he is a friend of mine, so I'm a little bit biased, but I got a feeling on Kevin Kisner at Bay Hill. Let's wait and see.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, it'll be time to groove up with our man, John Daly.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Jay Jr. He's Bob Bubka, the voice of golf. And it's time for our Groove Up feature this week, an encore presentation of a John Daly interview that Bob conducted at the PGA Merchandise Show. Bob, it's all about Vertical Groove Golf with our friend John Daly.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with him. Of course, I asked him right off the bat, why are you so excited about this Vertical Groove Golf Club?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when you get a golf club, I've always believed in a smaller head, which your club head speed gets a little faster, and you're more consistent with it. And with the Vertical Groove, no spin. It's the only driver on the market that you never spin it off the club face, which you're going to hit it straighter. Downwind, against wind, crosswinds, whatever. It's just the easiest club to hit. And you don't have to swing. I feel like you got to swing the bigger head so hard to get them out there to hit it. You don't have to with a Vertical Groove. It's just I can keep in my tempo. And Ruben then said I was up 37% fairways hit last year than any other year, which that's huge. And when you're hitting fairways and still hitting it, you know, a little bit over 300 yards, that's a good sign. You can play better golf.
You know, it's really is an honor to talk to you, John Daly. I was there when you won your PGA championship. I was at St. Andrews when you won your Open championship. I don't think our listeners really realize the greatness it takes. You win a major is one thing. You win two majors. I mean, it's just incredible. When you look back at your career and you look in that mirror in the morning, you got to be just so proud of what you've been able to do in this sport.
Well, you know, we always look back as pros. We want to do better. But you know what? I mean, there's a lot of guys that sit at home that, you know, are great, great, great golfers that became two, three in the world and never won a major. So I think if you ask them that, would you take two majors over being two in the world? I think a lot of them would say probably yes. But as pros, I look back and say, you know, could it have been better? Yeah, it could have been better. But you know what? I've had a great life. I feel like I've put somewhat of a mark in my name in golf. Some not good, some great. But I take the good with the bad. And it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm still going.
And not only going, you're developing somebody else in your family, your son. I've watched him now for a couple of years playing with you at the Father-Son Challenge. I see his development as a golfer. I see his mannerisms, his etiquette, his love of the game. It almost bursts through when you look at him. I mean, forget two majors. Having giving the game of golf to a son is about as great a gift as anybody could ever give anybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's thriving. Little John's, he's a little independent man now. He does have a temper on the golf course, which, you know, a lot of times I say, you know, it's okay sometimes. It means you care, but don't take it to an exception. And Sometimes he does, and I really can't give him advice because I did the same thing. But it's just because he cares. He gets in a little trouble, you know, when he gets mad and stuff. But, you know, the passion that he has for the game, he hates to lose. He just wants to go out and play and win. And what else can you ask? You know, a 14-year-old son, a kid that gets up every day and thinks golf and dreams it like never believe, keeps him outside, keeps him healthy, keeps him got a little energy in him. And I couldn't have asked for a better son. I'm so proud of him.
And I'm proud of the fact that you are the ambassador for Vertical Groove Golf. They're a company that pays attention to detail. They're exploding on the market. I've said, if you want to upset the three guys you play with on Saturday, put a Vertical Groove driver in your bag, and you will do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, now we got our three woods USGA approved. I think our five woods are out, coming out. We got a driving iron that's going to come out, you know, like a one iron, two iron that. It's going to be awesome, but the three woods just came out, and I can't wait. I'll be able to hit it in Boca, and, you know, it's just a smaller head three wood, easy to get in the air, and, you know, these vertical grooves being the way they are, it just makes you hit it a lot further and a lot straighter. I mean, at least the viewers that are listening to this, at least go out and try it, you know, and our sales and international are off the roof. Ruben and them couldn't have asked, and Jeff and Barry and all of them couldn't have asked for a better year. With Rocco and playing it, and Kenny Perry winning, me winning, it's just been a great year for us last year, and now we got a new year, and we want to keep building on and keep going. It's great to be a part of this company. The guys are great, and you're right, they do tend to go really big on detail, and it's a simple combination of when you get vertical grooves and you know you're not going to spin the ball. Can't stress enough how much straighter you hit it.
You know, what's amazing, John, is the fact that you've been hitting it straighter, you've been hitting it further, you're leading the tour in driving distance. And finally, with the people at Vertical Groove Golf, we've come up with an explanation that our listeners can understand. All you have to do, think about the tires on your car. You want them facing the target. You don't want them going left to right. And that's what the Vertical Groove driver does. You're going to hit it further, you're going to hit it straighter. To get your own Vertical Groove driver, simply go to vertgolf.com, vertgolf.com.
We're going to take another short break. We'll be right back with our tribute to the king, Arnold Palmer. Many of the greats of the game shared their thoughts on Arnold Palmer. Tom Weisskopf, Lee Trevino, Gary Player, Ben Crenshaw, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Doc Giffen, and even a little advice from the king himself, Arnold Palmer, before he passed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, as promised. A tribute to the king, Arnold Palmer. What a man. Bob and I were both lucky enough to interview him, meet him, and be around him, and so many great players were. And we kick off our tribute with Tom Weisskopf.
Well, I think he was the individual that projected how important the association of the player is to his audience, the spectator. The commercialization of what an individual can do representing, they were always just like all these guys, blue chip companies. You know, he was their spokesman. You know, he just was one of the most recognizable people in the world. He had time for people. When he looked at people, you just sensed that he's looking at me. You know, he'd go for broke on the golf course, unbelievable shot making, you know, from difficult positions and a lot of risk reward. He had finished second 50 times in his career. And how many wins did Arnold have? I mean, he's in the 60s, something like that. So maybe a different approach. He might have won a few more. But, I mean, he just that was his style. So he's made businessmen out of these younger players that are playing the young tour. You know, they're labeling themselves. They're marketing themselves. Companies are utilizing them to project, you know, their economic potential. So that's the great thing I think about Arnold. You know, he's just a man's man. He walks through the locker room and he's recognized, but he has a selfness that he's going to engage if you engage him, or he'll see you sitting there. How'd you do today, you know, young man? You know, he's just an open, gracious gentleman.
Next up is a player that has always demonstrated the utmost respect and admiration for Mr. Palmer. Let's listen to Ben Crenshaw.
He's irreplaceable in our game, and he always has been. And there's, of all the pantheon of great athletes that this country's ever produced, he's at the pinnacle. There's a multitude of reasons why they call him the king, and it's the way he treats people, everyone. He never forgot where he came from. He's a statesman, really, for our game.
It has been said by many people in many different ways the importance of Arnold Palmer to the game of golf. Tiger Woods is another person who has changed the game, but he pays tribute to the passion and determination Mr. Palmer showed in making sure the babies and children had incredible medical care in the Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Babies.
See, he'd raised the money to build Winnie Palmer. And, you know, that's where both of my kids were born. And Dr. Alexander did a great job. You know, we struggled with Sam. She was born preemie. And they did an absolutely incredible job of making sure she was healthy and progressed each and every day, and it was just an incredible feeling what the staff did, and we're so thankful to, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the opportunity to have Winnie Palmer Hospital. So all of us players are very thankful for what he's done.
Another legend that really admired the time that he had to spend with Arnold Palmer, none other than Lee Trevino. And we asked Lee, what did Arnold Palmer mean to golf?
You're asking the guy that told you to look up the word class in the dictionary, and his picture would be next to it for definition. But you know what I think of Arnie, and Arnie was just unbelievable. He's the only guy I know that would at a red light would jump out of a car and go sign autographs to the car behind him. I'd run the red light. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy was just unbelievable. I mean, what did he start? He started in 1955, I think. He won the first tournament with the Canadian Open, and it's phenomenal. But I'll tell you what, when Jack came along in the early 60s and dethroned him, I guess you want to say, the public never left. They pulled for Arnie. I mean, they pulled for Arnie. And probably the most recognizable guy in the world when you talk about Arnold Palmer.
Many of you golf fans have always heard about the big three. Well, I was Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and now the late Arnold Palmer. Gary was really in the middle of Jack and Arnie, but as the record books tell us, he held his own. Here's what Gary Player had to say about Arnold Palmer.
Well, it is very fascinating, the experience, looking at it from the middle, as you say. First of all, Arnold was a wonderful gentleman with people and had great respect, and manners maketh a man. So I was awfully impressed with that. The reason people loved him much, he was born with charisma, but he earned that love. He gave love to people. He had respect for people. But Arnold came along at the time of television, and Mark McCormack, who was a genius, this man, all managers
should go on their hands and knees, because Mark McCormick was the first real manager of significance. But Arnold came along at the right time. We needed this charismatic guy. And then Jack came along and surpassed him, and it was just a great time for golf.
Of course, any discussion of Arnold Palmer wouldn't be complete without the thoughts and wisdom of Jack Nicklaus. Jack played with Arnie at the height of Arnie's Army's popularity. We wanted to know, what was that like?
The first time we played was an exhibition in 1958. And then we never played. We didn't play again until 62, my first year on tour. And, you know, I've always said I may have had to fight Arnold's gallery, but I never had to fight Arnold. Arnie treated me as an equal, and we traveled together. We played exhibitions together. We competed against each other and had a great time. He's been a lifelong friend and a lifelong competitor. We always compete because, you know, that's what we did. And we enjoyed it. We loved it. And we got a big kick out of, you know, I mean, I remember Gary and I and Arnold and I always come to the locker room, and if one of us shot 75, the other one couldn't wait to get to the locker room to ask the guy, where'd you make all your birdies today? I mean, we needled each other. We had a lot of fun. And he was the one that really was the image of starting the public projection of the game of golf, because that television came along. But he happened to be there at the right time, and the world happened to be there at the right time for him. All the golfers have benefited from it.
Arnie was a giving man, always willing to share some advice. So during a Bay Hill press conference, he finally agreed to divulge his secret for handling the pressure in the majors.
Stick to the basic fundamentals. My father taught me basic fundamentals of the game of golf. And when any instruction that he gave me from the day I started playing golf was stick to the basic fundamentals. You've heard it a dozen times. When he put my hands on the club, he said, boy, don't you ever change that. Well, I haven't. And I think that basic fundamentals, if you are really serious about playing golf and playing good golf, stick to the basic fundamentals. Sure, there's going to be a change here and a change there, but you don't want to make them. You want to stick to the things that you started with and you learned and you know how to apply them to your game. As my father said when I left for the tour, and he wasn't too anxious for me to go on tour, but when I walked out and I said, I'm going on tour, Pap, and he says, okay, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, you go out there and listen to all those guys out there, and that tractor's still sitting down there, and you can drive it when you come back. Well, I never went back because I did what he told me, basic fundamentals. And if you feel like you're getting the basic fundamentals when you start, and you think you're right, and you've got a pretty good swing going for you, stick with it.
Anyone that was lucky enough to know Arnold Palmer also knew Doc Giffen, his loyal assistant, for the past 50-plus years. And I think Doc says it best.
He's meant everything to golf. He is golf, if you will.
Well, you know, Jay, it's always great, as you said earlier. We were very fortunate during our careers to be associated with Arnold Palmer, to be in his company, to feel his presence, to recognize the unbelievable impact that he's had on this sport. And when you hear those greats say it in such glowing terms, and every one of them coming from the heart, a fine tribute. We certainly hope our Grow Room listeners enjoyed that.